Ephesians chapter 4. So very thankful you're here and trust the Lord continues to bless. And I believe the Lord is not through blessing yet. Amen. Amen. Ephesians 4, we'll read from verses 7 and 8. But unto every one of us is given grace. Everybody say, given grace. According to the measure of the gift of Christ. Say, the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts. Everybody say, gave gifts unto men. Praise God. As you can tell, I'm going to preach about gifts. He gave gifts. That's what we'll call it. And thank God he gave them to us. He gave them to me. Turn to somebody and tell them, I'm glad he gave gifts to me. Praise God. You may be seated. Some of you can look back on gifts that were given and you felt a bit ambiguous about that and weren't quite sure to rejoice or reject. I read about a young boy, 11, 12 years old, who was instructed to write a thank you note to his grandmother for the gift that he received from her. And she was trying to round the cultural experiences of this boy, and so she sent him for his birthday tickets to the opera. The opera. And so he's writing a thank you note. Dear Grandma, thank you for the gift of tickets to the opera. It's just what I wanted, only not very much. So we think about some of those gifts that we felt a little bit dubious about and not sure about them. God's gifts, when we consider God's gifts, oh my, there's no need for ambiguity, no need for concern, any of those things. The promise of the Messiah gave hope. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light, Isaiah records in chapter 9. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Praise God. I'm glad God gives light even in those circumstances. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Oh, no wonder they rejoiced in the hope of the Messiah. And finally, when he was born, the birth of Christ, it gave the shepherds wonder. It gave the wise men worship. They'd followed the star with rejoicing, and they presented their gifts to the one who was the gift of Christ. Praise God. What an amazing, amazing events, string of events, chain of events that the Lord put together there. The ministry of Christ. He gave sight to the blind. He gave strength to the crippled. He gave hearing to the deaf. He gave deliverance to the demon-possessed. He gave healing to the leper. He gave resurrection to the dead. Thank God for the miracle power that our Lord displayed when he came and he gave of himself. He gave truth to make free. He gave power to become the sons of God. He gave the steps to be born again. He didn't leave out any area, eternal or present, that we would lack But thank God he was there to give forgiveness. He gave favor. He gave faith. I'm thankful that we can put our trust in the one who gives. Now, we read from Ephesians, and it almost seems like there's an emphasis on gifts in the book of Ephesians. For example, in chapter 1, verse 7, Paul wrote of the riches of his grace. And then one chapter later, he talks about the salvation that comes by grace. Oh, I'm thankful for the help that the Lord gives to us and lets us know, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Imagine if it was of yourself. Imagine if it was something you constructed, something that you brought about. There would be a mighty variety of degree of how that salvation could be implemented and what the results would be. Some with engineering minds would be able to build perhaps some impressive structures. Some with the gift of words and philosophy would be able to write it out so nicely. But every attempt and every production would be far less than what the Lord would give in so great salvation. Thank God, his grace brought about the salvation that is far greater than anything that we would be able to construct or manufacture or produce. Amen. We find faith in his grace brings salvation, and that is the gift of God. Ephesians 4 and 7. Again, it emphasizes we are given grace, the portion of Scripture that we read to start with here. We are given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ, and everyone is included. No one needs to be left out. No one needs to fall short. No one needs to go away empty. Thank God. Every one of us, say that with me, every one of us, thank God, that he provides that gift for us, the gift of Christ. A Bible verse that is so well known and one that most people can quote. God so loved the world that he gave. Yeah. Thank God that his love was willing to give. He had already given miracles. He'd already given healing. He'd already given deliverance. He'd given life before death. And then he gave life after death in the resurrections as well. Thank God he was willing to give the ultimate sacrifice. He was willing to give the completion of our salvation. He gave the gift of Christ on the cross. The price was paid. The way was made. God opened the door for us. Praise God. And how wonderful that Christ in you, the hope of glory, could be fulfilled as we operate that faith in our lives and draw closer to the Lord. Colossians 1:27 says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory. Thank God that we can know those riches. We can know that power. We can know that blessing. And have Christ in us, the hope of glory. The riches of those glory is what he is going to provide your needs for. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. Thank God that operates in our lives here and now. But in that eternal realm, Christ in you, the hope of glory. What a gift. What a tremendous gift. Praise God. Verse 8 of our text, he gave gifts unto men. The Lord in Luke 11 was making a comparison between earthly fathers and heaven and the heavenly father. And how you earthly fathers, you know how to give good gifts. And he began to explain some of the differences or some of the examples rather of how the good gifts would be given for bread and eggs and fish and so on that the son would ask and harmful things, detrimental things, dangerous things would not be given, but rather that which the son was asking for. How much more, the Lord said, will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Thank God that he began his focus in his ministry on receiving the Spirit of God And it began to build and build even further, because the gift of the Holy Ghost is especially good. It's a good gift. Hallelujah. And the Bible tells us in James 1 and 17 that every good gift, every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. In other words, there's not going to be a change. There's not going to be a fluctuation. There's not going to be a shortage. There's not going to be a extinguishing of that blessing and that opportunity. The Lord is going to continue to give those good gifts and those perfect gifts. Hallelujah. And thank God, Paul talked about his unspeakable gift. Unspeakable. Other translations render it inestimable, indescribable, incomparable, inexpressible. Praise God. There's no way to be able to do it justice. It's a gift beyond words. Thank God that's what we receive. A gift so wonderful in His Spirit that God gives us another language to praise Him in. God gives us another way to exalt Him and to lift Him up. Praise God. One person praying in tongues remembered one of the phrases that she spoke, and she had an app on her phone that she spoke that phrase into, and it turned out it was Japanese, and the phrase was, good day. It's a good day to have the Spirit of God within you. It's a good day to have the blessings of God come upon you. It's a good day to have that knowledge of God working in our life, because that's what He desires to give. He gives gifts. Praise God. Ephesians 4 and 11, He gave some pastors, teachers, evangelists, prophets, apostles. Thank God He gave those. And the perfecting, the working, the equipping takes place because God gave a fivefold ministry to the church. Thank God that that perfecting and working and edifying can be occurring in our lives. Amen. Church-wide, and let the power of the Lord be displayed within us. Precious presence. Now, that word present can be a present, or it could be present in terms of time, or it could be present in terms of a gift. English is such a hard language. But God, the Bible says in Ephesians again, Ephesians 5:27, the Lord is going to present to Himself a glorious church. Praise God. Not a church that is weak and spineless and just goes along with culture and the crowd and just, oh well, doesn't matter. No, He's looking for a glorious church. Not having spot, not having wrinkle, not having a blemish, but a glorious church. Praise God. And He's going to present it to Himself. Praise God. And in light of that truth, we pay attention to Romans 12 and 1, where we make a present of ourselves. And Paul pleading with the Romans, pleading with the believers, I beseech you by the mercies of God that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Make a present of yourself. Be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Amen. That may not fit with culture. They may not fit with society. But you want to please God. You want to be acceptable unto God. You want to fit in with His eternal plan. And it's just your reasonable service. Praise God. Holy and acceptable, because He died for you. And you can be a living sacrifice. Praise God. And make that present. Amen. The descending and ascending that was in the passage here reminded me of Jacob's dream. where he fell asleep, far away from his family, alone in the desert area, a stone that he rested his head upon. And in his dream, he saw that ladder reaching from earth to heaven. Thank God there's a connection that can be made from earth to heaven. Thank God there's not a block there, not a boundary that keeps us from being able to access heaven. But in that dream, upon that ladder, Jacob saw angels ascending and descending, going up and down from earth to heaven. Praise God. And Jacob would later encounter one of those angels in a night of prayer. A night of prayer that would change his walk and would change his life. Oh, I'm glad the Lord knows how to do that kind of work. He knows how to bring about those kinds of changes. He knows how to produce the positive things in our lives that we need. He knows how to take out the negative things that we don't need and bring us into the realm of blessing that he has for us. The parenthetical commentary that goes on in our chapter that we read from Ephesians 4. It's a parenthesis that Paul is using to explain what the Spirit is talking about in descending and ascending. He descended first. He came to the earth. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Praise God. And to them that received him, he gave the power to become the sons of God. Thank the Lord that we can know that blessing, that when he came to earth, when he died on the cross, when his body was in the tomb, he was defeating the devil. Satan indeed is under our feet. Praise God. And the Lord has the keys of death and of hell, because he took them when he descended. Praise God. Thank the Lord we know the defeat of the devil in our lives as well. And then the Lord ascended. His earthly ministry was miraculous and mighty. He did a tremendous work. And on the cross he cried out, "It is finished." Glory to God. Our faith can be in the finished work of Christ. Our faith can be in the completion of what he's already brought about. And in Acts 1 and 9, when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. Praise God. He ascended, and a cloud received him out of their sight. The things that he spoke about included the kingdom. The things that he mentioned included receiving the power of the Spirit. Praise God. And he is what we can receive. He is what we can be filled with. Ephesians 4 and 10, back to our chapter that we read, says he is far above all, that he might fill all. Thank God that that power can be displayed upon us and in us and through us as God fills us with the Holy Ghost. Did he descend after he ascended? Yes, he came in the Spirit. He descended in the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, which we commemorate on this day. That happened almost 2,000 years ago. The 120 were gathered in the upper room, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Thank God that he continues to descend. He continues to pour out of his Spirit. He continues to bless with the power of the Holy Ghost. And Peter preached in accord with the 11 who were standing there with him. They all were in agreement. There was no one who said, oh, wait, Peter, you're saying it wrong. No, Peter said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Thank God that power is still available today. Hallelujah. Amen. He preached about Jesus being crucified. He preached about Jesus being slain. And conviction gripped the hearts of those who heard him. And they asked, what shall we do? What should we do about that? How can we fix it? How can we be changed? Peter said it very simply. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Thank God for his power to continue to be poured out, that blessing to continue to come, the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, what an incredible gift. What an incredible blessing. What an incredible power. Amen. And he will descend again. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. You believe the word of God? That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to take place. Praise God. He shall descend. And we will ascend. Glory to God. Caught up to be with him forever. I want to be alive and remain like the scripture identifies. And the Spirit helps you to be alive and remaining. The Spirit helps you to be living and steadfast. Praise God. Amen. Ascending and descending. Opposites. I want you to consider another opposite. And the scripture tells us in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Pretty plain and simple. Pretty obvious what the choice should be. A determination that should rise within our hearts. I'm not going to play the devil's game anymore. I'm not going to fit in with his plan and his deception anymore. I'm not going to work for those wages. Death through sin. No, I'm going to claim the gift. Praise God. I'm going to reach out for the gift. I'm going to desire the gift because that's eternal life through Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. That's my determination today. That's my desire today. Thank God. The outpouring of the Spirit is incredible. If we were to give Brother Mike time today to tell about what he's heard other preachers share as far as the outpouring of the Holy Ghost across the world, it would astound you, the numbers of those who have received the Spirit. Praise God. And the power of God. And well, we rejoice in thousands. Thank God. One receiving the Holy Ghost is amazing. I'm glad I was that one. I'm glad I was that one. At the end of first term, Brother Jaime in Bible school, I was one that received the Holy Ghost. Praise God. At a service at the end of the term, oh, it felt so wonderful. So incredible. God filled me with his Spirit. He gave me that gift. I spoke in tongues like the Bible says. I didn't care who heard me. I didn't care what I was saying. I let the tears flow. I let my voice get loud. I raised my hands in that altar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that can happen today. That can happen again. Would you stand with me? Praise God. Praise God. Now, in many services that you've been in many Pentecost Sundays that we have celebrated, evangelistic services, revival services as we call them, the altar call, the call to come to the altar and alter your life, usually goes something like this. If you've never spoken in tongues, if you've never spoken words or made sounds that you didn't understand, as the Spirit of God gave you the utterance, you can have that today. And we invite those to come and pray. That's how it usually goes. We're changing that a little bit here. I want to know how many of you have received the Spirit and you spoke in tongues. Praise God. Come on, Brother Mario, raise your hand. Praise God. You've received it. You know it's real. You know how powerful it is. You know what a tremendous blessing it is. I want you to come and receive it again. I want you to come and get blessed again. I want the day of Pentecost to happen all over again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on down here and let the Holy Ghost minister to you. Let the blessing of the Lord come upon you again. Hallelujah. And then if you have not received it, if you have not had that experience, God can fill you with the Holy Ghost right here while the worship is going on, while the praise is going forth. Amen. While the gift is flowing and God's goodness is being poured out, God can bless you with His Spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, let's worship Him. Hallelujah. Let's exalt Him. Let's praise Him. Let's glorify Him. Let's lift up His name today. Thank God that we can know His goodness and His blessing in our lives. Hallelujah, hallelujah.